Good afternoon and welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
Hello. Well, it's not raining today.
You were late.
I wasn't late. You keep saying that.
You were late.
No, I was using my little car downstairs as an office. Because I don't know about you, but when you get out of the house, you sort of find I'm in my own little space in the car, whereas in at home
you spread out with all your drugs.
Oh, all my vitamins.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw my picture this morning, did you?
I did. Yeah,
you
yeah.
See a little bald egg.
Yeah, little bald egg in a little container
and jam
all,
jar,
and all your drugs spread around your seat.
All my supplements, darling, not drugs.
Supplements.
And my homeopathy.
Yeah, yeah.
A little boiled egg.
Yeah.
I had a little green smoothie this morning with you'd love it with blueberry and organic this and organic.
It's horrible.
That.
I don't. Smoothies horrible.
New husband expects it now.
I'm sure he does.
Four or five days a week.
It's like drinking six.
And a smoothie.
Yeah.
As I was saying.
we'll gloss over that, shall we?
I said to him, it's far too cold. I'm much more. Don't know about you, other women in our vicinity.
What are you asking me for?
I'm a much more, well, let's say, sensual person when it's warm. We've got in the studio, we've got the lovely Lisa.
No, we haven't.
From HR. Maria.
Maria.
I know where I got Lisa from.
What is that?
Because Lisa Settle was tweeting this morning.
Oh, right. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
She's in my brain.
Yeah.
We've got the lovely Maria. And I don't know about you, but are you better in warm weather or cold weather, Maria?
Probably warm weather, to be honest.
I was sitting, we've got very old windows, and we've just had a quote to replenish them with balconies and things. I think I told
you replenish your windows with a balcony.
Really. Balcony's got an architect and all that. Guess how much the quote is, Paul Andrews?
Go on.
Guess how much?
93,000.
£350,000.
What?
Yeah. That's a house, isn't it?
To do what?
I'll put a balcony up
instead of a window.
Yeah, do you want to do it for me?
Upstairs. In your living room.
No, it is two balconies.
In your living room.
Where you've been, yeah.
Yeah.
And you had a chai stop with me, didn't you?
Once. Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about that. You've got an upside down house. Your living room's upstairs.
Yeah. So balcony all along there.
All along the front.
Yeah.
Overlooking the.
Replacing, if you remember.
Overlooking the people drowning out in the bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And the little migrants coming and going. Hello.
Maria, she's got a telescope set up in her living room so she can watch the people drown when they fall off their windboards or whatever they're called.
Yeah. I often get the RNLI in. Yeah. In days gone by, not now with the poor migrants coming over, which is awful, but also when the old windsurfers are out there and that, because they go out there miles. I'm sure I'm going to call you Lisa all the whole show now. She's in my brain, Lisa Settle. I'll send you the plans. Maybe you can knock it up for me. And also the top floor. So the top floor at the moment has just got two skylights in it. It's like a little loft, but it's a huge expanse. It's like a one-bedroom flat.
Yeah, what are you going to put up there then?
We're going to make it into a top floor, and then we'll move up to the top.
Right. So when you said the cost to put up two balconies was £350,000, you admitted the fact that you're going to put another story on the top of your house.
No, there is already that story. It's just to...
Yeah, but you're going to convert it.
Yeah.
Which isn't putting two balconies on the front of the house.
Well, you know, you could just pop one on, couldn't you?
Yeah, it's not.
I was looking at houses yesterday. We went for walkies with the greyhound.
Yeah.
And we went to an amazing place. I don't really know where I was. You'll know this. Did you see my tweet? There used to be a coal mine in Kent.
There were two, Snowdon and...
We were by the old Viking ship down in...
Viking Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. Around there.
Yeah, well, Deal, which is where Batsanger Country Park is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a coal mine.
Right. Okay, so that closed. Well, it's amazing.
In 1834, yeah.
No, there was another one in the 80s that closed. I've got it all. I'm going to tweet you later.
I know all of this.
I know. And not only that, do you know this?
What?
Tell me if you know this, Paul Andrews.
Go on.
There used to be a little ferry in the 80s, from the 70s to the 86 or something. I've got all the dates written down on my tweet.
A ferry between 1970 and 1986. Was it a Back to the Future ferry?
It was a hovercraft that used to go across from sort of that sandwich area, the wild bit. It's near the Viking ship, wherever that's called.
Yeah.
And it used to nip across to France. And I met a local, as you do when you're dog walking, and he said he used to be... in his little sports car, because he looked like sort of a 60s boomer.
Did he have driving gloves with string backs?
Yeah, and he had long sort of silver hair, and he looked like a dude, you know. Yeah. He said, I used to drive there in my sports car, hop over on the hovercraft in the 80s, and I'd be in Saint-Tropez in 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought, why have we let all that go? When the government are bollocking us about driving our car.
Did you ever go
Guess my goat, Paul
Did
Andrews.
You ever go on the hovercraft?
Yeah. I went on a Sea Cat.
Yeah, if you went on a Sea Cat, exactly. You know why they stopped it, because nobody could stop throwing up.
Yeah, I was all right. I was all right. I kept it in. Well, I just went green.
You know what we've got now instead?
Nothing.
Yes, we have. What? We've got a tunnel.
I'm not keen on the tunnel.
And you put your car on a train, and in 20 minutes you're in France.
I'm sorry, I have to disagree, because to get to that tunnel, where's it go from? Epsley?
No.
Where's it go from? Folkestone?
It goes from Cheriton.
Where's Cheriton?
Just outside Folkestone.
There you are, Folkestone, that's what I said. But don't you think, I said to my new husband yesterday as we were walking along, with the dog, and she ate some sheep poo. Oh, that's why she was up all night.
We don't need to know.
You can't stop these dogs. They're very awful. But also, you know, also, well, I'll tell you that in a minute. But I said to him, it's like we had an airport in Manston, a little hub.
Yeah.
We had a hoverport. We had coal mines. What is happening? It's like we're going backwards. We're not going forwards.
Yeah, well, the two coal mines, Snowdon and Bettsanger, were shut in the early 80s, along with every other coal mine in the country. The politicians decided they don't want to burn coal.
I keep squeaking about this.
Do you know, the entire island, the whole of Great Britain is built on a bed of coal. You could dig anywhere in the UK and hit coal.
Do you know what? I've got a shovel in my car.
Well, exactly. But, you know, our politicians have decided that coal and gas are not the way forward, and therefore we're going to ignore an entire island full of coal and gas and run everything on a wind turbine.
There's two separate things. A, I was freezing this morning. We still haven't had our heating on yet. We've got three floors.
Really?
So you're impressed, aren't you?
Soon to be four if she can dig up 350 grand.
We've got... No, that will be the third floor sorted. Come round and have a look. We've got three boilers. Okay, so we turned off one in the summer because it's all on different levels.
Oh, I see.
So a boiler for that level, boiler for that level, boiler for... We've got an indoor pool. I don't talk about it much because people think I'm snobby. But he's got a pool as well, so, you know.
Yeah, mine's not indoors, though.
No, but yours is heated.
I've got a heat pump
there. There you go.
Yeah.
I've got a boiler for some reason. Yeah. Anyway, so we've turned off... You know, I was swimming in the sea all summer.
Was it warm?
Maria. The sea was lovely till they put the sewage in.
What did they heat it with the sewage, don't they?
Every time it rains, there is a sewage release. Every time it rains.
Warm effluent to keep it nicely topped up.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So I was toning up nicely until they kept releasing. But the other thing is, like, why don't we use our waterways? Why can't we chug up the River Thames to London? Mm. Why are we all going on the M2 or whatever we're on?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Just get a little speedboat going.
speedboat.
And why are we going through the Dartford Tunnel where you sit? It's awful. Why can't I zip across to my father-in-law who's in Southend? I can see his house from my house in Tankerton. Mm. I can wave on a clear day. Mm. Why can't I just? I could nip over on a you know, hoverboard or whatever.
They talked about it a lot, haven't they? Having putting a ferry service back between North Kent Coast and Southend. But it's just not financially viable.
Well, I was saying to my new husband, though, all these people with pots of money, and we're talking, you know, I can't think of anybody with pots of money. Paul Andrews, you've got pots of money. but, you know, there's people like, there's influential people like Rishi Sunak. I mean, how much has he got?
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't they just do something? If I had 50 million swinging around, I'd do something exciting.
Yeah, but look what happens when people do.
What happens?
Well, Elon Musk bought Twitter to sort it out, and everybody in the world started crying and whining that he, you know, and coming up with this nonsense that if he'd spent the money on the world's poor, nobody would be poor anymore, apart from the fact that none of them can do arithmetic. The fact is that we've already spent $12 trillion on the poor, and it hasn't helped so far.
But how much are we spending on France at the moment? Because that's all wrapped up. To stop the little migrants coming over.
No idea.
Well, we've just we've been giving them billions, and now we're giving them more billions.
I don't think we're giving them billions. I think it was 64 million.
It's quite a lot, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now we've upped it.
Yeah, apparently.
Even though it wasn't working before.
Yeah.
Don't forget your mute button, Maria.
Yeah.
Love little mute button. Anyway, when I was in the Viking area yesterday, as a Viking.
Have you got any idea where you were?
Not really. Well, because what I'm doing is I'm doing that rural coast walk.
Was it not Broadstairs?
Oh, no. It was much more rural. The wild ponies. There was no one there. Wild ponies. I saw wild ponies. I saw cormorants. I saw...
Yeah, you were down...
A bird with a beak.
You were coming around the corner of Kent from...
Yeah, we're doing the Saxon Shore Way.
Yeah, yeah. You were heading from Deal back towards Dover.
Yeah, well, what we do is we drive from Tankerton to a different spot each time where we ended up. My husband's absolutely one-tracked about it. So we missed, like, 3 yards from... You've just turned me up, haven't you? You just turned me up.
No, I'm just stunned by this.
We missed 3 yards because it was pouring rain and I had the wrong coat on. I didn't take my raincoat. I had my furry coat and I was boiling hot and getting wet. Because you have to have the right coat, don't you, for all this hiking?
This weather.
I had my walking boots on, but I had the wrong coat. So anyway, we parked and then we walked, tramped in the rain. But he said that we'd missed 3 bits. So then I had to drive back to where we'd originally been a month ago while he walked that little bit with the dog. It's just very anal about it all. Anyway, but it's a beautiful one. There's wild ponies.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear this morning some good news.
Oh, yeah.
I did hear that our government are building a nuclear power station in Sussex. Heard it this morning.
Sussex.
Or maybe Surrey. Wayne Cunnington's listening. He'll Google it.
You mean Suffolk.
Well, something with an SU.
That would be Sizewell in Suffolk, which they've been building for years.
He said it was EDF France was building it.
Yeah. Yeah, Sizewell.
Have they been doing that all the time? Have they hailed it this morning like some great big hallelujah?
No, don't even get me started.
What they failed to say, the bit that anybody listening would want to know is, when? When can I turn my electric on, please?
Yeah. I'm not even getting involved in this. The government are deliberately not doing things that they should be doing with nuclear power. Rolls-Royce are waiting patiently to develop what are called SMRs, which are small modular reactors. They take 4 years. They're built in a factory and then placed on site. Each SMR can power 1 million homes. Rolls-Royce have been waiting to do this for years, and the government won't give them planning permission.
That's outrageous.
It's just bonkers nonsense.
When we play Cheesy Tunage, I will send you some pictures of wild ponies I saw, because I know you're horse mad, of course.
Why are you going to send them to me?
Because it's just amazing that you're in... It's not like the New Forest. We're in rural Kent by the marshes. Oh, and I saw seals. Lovely. Honestly, you've got to walk there. It's just beautiful.
Did he do Kiss from a Rose? Or...
I love Seal. Yeah, apparently he was quite possessive because he was married to the top model, wasn't he?
Yeah, Heidi Klum.
Yeah, Heidi. He was quite possessive, but I do like him. And he's got that lovely...
Anyway, so you saw him on the coast at Deal riding a wild pony. Thank you for that. Right, look, listen.
You know what? No, Wayne Cunnington's listening.
Hello, Wayne.
I will say last week he had to listen on... He listened again because he wasn't listening live.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my new husband about it. I said, Wayne didn't listen live. Mm. And my new husband said, perhaps he's going to wane from listening each week.
Oh dear.
He has a brother, you know, called Wax.
Wax and Wax. Oh, goodness sake.
Anyway, he's listening avidly and he says it's like listening to a travel show.
Yeah.
Perhaps we should do a travel show, Paul.
No, we really shouldn't. Can you imagine Jules on a travel show? She can't even find her way around Kent and she's lived there 50 years. She tells me, I was in Rotham the other day.
Yeah.
You were where? Rotham.
Yeah.
Where's that?
Yeah, well, it's Elizabethan.
In Kent. It's near Borough Green. You mean Rootham? Yeah, that's it, Rotham.
What's Igtham? Where's Igtham?
Item.
Maria's having... She's having hysterics.
Yeah, I know.
I did warn you.
Yes, you did.
I hardly know him, Maria. Cheesy Tunage?
No, we haven't even started the show yet. Oh. It's not time for Cheesy Tunage. We haven't started the show yet.
Hello.
I want to do some tweets or emails or something.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that Maria's here. She's not Lisa.
And she's changed her name since she got here.
Yeah.
That was really quick, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But what's Maria's surname?
Wilson.
Maria Wilson. Any relation to Harold?
No. That's my married surname.
Oh, okay. Is your husband related to Harold?
No, definitely not.
Okay. And where do you live in...
So I live in Iwade, near Sittingbourne.
Iwade.
Yeah.
because I said I'm going to see Chips and Dinks in Sitting Bourne. I'm on the 12th of December. I'll be that way because they're doing some. You know, I've got a little low car, a little sports car, and my alloys.
I go read an email, Jules. I'm just going to have a quick chat with Maria, and then we'll be back.
Well, Maria's going to be telling us about this wonderful.
No, she's not. She's not going to get a word in edgeways. When by the time Maria's on in the second part of the show, we won't even have started the show.
Do you know what? Cheesy tunage. How do you solve a problem like Maria?
No, it's not.
I've had that to me throughout my whole life.
Oh, really? Are you a problem, Maria?
Well, luckily...
I can be.
Luckily, Maria, the cheesy tunage isn't aimed at you. But we're never going to get there at this rate.
But what I wanted to ask Maria...
No, what I want you to do is read an email or a tweet.
I must ask Maria first. As I'm going to see the lovely Chips and Dinks, so they're regular listeners, and they jazz up Paul's car, and when he gets a few... He gets quite a lot of scratches, quite a lot of dents and things in his car. I don't know how he drives.
Anything to do with his driving?
Oh, I think it might be. And, you know, patio... He's had a patio scrape of late.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the listener who can't see, he's a little bit bruised and battered. And sent me a picture.
Are we ever going to read an email?
But anyway, so I will be going to Sitting Bourne, and I have to leave my car there for 4 hours. So I shall be asking you, Maria, off air or even on air, things to do whilst in Sitting Bourne and surround. Because there must be nice villages to take my greyhound.
There's some nice
pubs.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. So I can recommend some places.
As I'm driving, I will only have one Guinness and a little nibble of something. Scotch egg. I think we're allowed, aren't we? Scotch eggs were allowed, aren't we? You can do anything after a Scotch egg, apparently.
Apart from read an email or a tweet.
Harper Dennis Hobbs. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
He's part of the Newmark group. For the first time, poor Maria, she's having to wipe her mascara.
I know.
From crying.
Mm. You have the same effect on me.
Has released a vitality. Yeah, your blush has gone all a bit funny. Has released a vitality rankings mid-year update. With larger retail centres seeing the benefits of shoppers returning to malls and city centres. Do you say mall or mall?
Mall.
Yeah, I say mall. I don't know why.
I say mall.
Mall and Frit.
I love Maul and Fritz. HDH is Vitality Rankings, determines the health of high streets. You see, I don't call a mall a high street.
Just get on with it.
Well, I need to write to them because I don't see a mall and a shopping centre as a high street. That's got my goat.
If you read the whole thing.
And shopping centres, by analysing a number of factors, including vacancy rates.
What can you do with that? it's impossible, Maria, isn't it?
Residents' movement. Residents' movement. See, I told you there was sewage in the city.
Just get on with it.
Residents' movements and suitability to local consumer demand. The rankings reveal the top 50 retail centres compiled from a list of 1,000 by the Strategic Retail Property Consultancy. And Tenterton, your town, and Sevenoaks are both in the top 10. Posh, you see, posh.
Yeah.
But they don't have shopping malls, do they?
No. The whole point of that was there's an index of the top places to go shopping. And the whole point of that was to tell our listeners that Tenterton and Sevenoaks were in the top 10. That's all.
Okay. Well, I would like to have the whole list of the top 10.
Why? None of the rest are in Kent.
Oh, aren't they?
No. That's why I put the two that were in Kent on the list and took the rest off.
I'm not a fan of a shopping mall. What about you, Maria? I find I get drained. Blue Water, I go there. If I take my husband to Blue Water, he gets very grumpy and leaves after 10 minutes.
I hate shopping.
The lights.
Yeah.
You don't.
Hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've got a coat on. You don't want a coat on and the noise and the bustle. Yeah.
Right,
like
so this show has been on the air 22 minutes now. We've read we've read one email. Okay.
Yeah, but it was a very good one.
And that took an eternity and was painful.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to have to pay you a cheesy tunage.
Okay.
And the cheesy tunage is in homage to our first guest. And our first guest will be Neville Gawn.
He's not at all Gawn.
And Neville from MindFit Limited and I will be talking about mentoring. So I picked
this.
In fact, the first one I picked, we didn't have it on the database, so I picked this.
I need somebody. The Beatles. I love this song. You know, I need someone. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentle mind and open up the doors.
become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Tallis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Roch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
So that was the Beatles with Help. There's a pent
classic
up,
tunage.
Yeah, there's a pent up demand for mentoring in the small business community as the UK heads into the most challenging macroeconomic environment for decades. Mm. A major new report launched last week has found the nation's appetite for mentoring is on the rise, with 82% of firms saying that they are now interested in being mentored, according to Mentoring Matters, commissioned by small business support platform Enterprise Nation. Business support provider Newable and the Association of Business Mentors, and conducted by policy research firm Policy Department. The report, launched on National Mentoring Day, found that this growing appetite is reflected by a broader move towards mentoring in the UK business advice culture. 61% of respondents said that mentoring's reputation among their peers and business colleagues had increased, with younger founders seeing fewer barriers to being mentored than older entrepreneurs. So I caught up with Neville Gaunt of Mindfit Limited, and we talked about this whole mentoring issue and mentoring scheme. So let's hear what Neville had to say.
Yeah, he's written a book as well.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show Mr. Neville Gaunt of Mindfit Limited. Neville, good afternoon. Welcome to the bunker.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's nice to have a chat about
an important
subject that's going to help everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we were looking at some things on social media, and we decided that probably the best way of handling that was to have a chat about it. And the thing that we were looking at was mentoring. So I'll tell you what, first of all, just to remind our listeners about you and MindFit, tell us what you do, and then we'll discuss the whole mentoring issue.
Yeah, sure. Very simply, we help organisations be the best they can be.
Right.
So it's a paradigm shift in behaviour, if you want technical term, but what it means is you become a better performer on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So you get rid of bad habits, put some good habits in, and keep working on them until those good habits don't get the results you want, and put more good habits in. So pretty simple stuff, really.
Cool. Okay, so we started chatting about mentoring. So set the scene for us, Neville. First of all, what does mentoring mean to you? And then maybe we can move on to, you know, what it should mean to everybody else, and where the whole mentoring scene is. Because I've seen a number of things just recently about people saying that there's a huge demand for mentoring. And I want to explore that. But let's start at the beginning. For you, what does mentoring mean?
Well, I think we can go back 62 years for me, and a little bit longer for you.
But
But we come into the world being mentored. You know, we call it parenting.
Sure.
But fundamentally, it's being mentored. And we wouldn't learn how to walk and talk and be social with other kids before we go to school without good mentoring, and we'll call that good parenting.
Yeah.
So if any parents out there are thinking mentoring's not for me, well, it's only because the term is alien to you.
Yeah.
You know, I regularly say in audiences, you know, and I ask like 3 questions, and I get people to think differently. So the first question I says, so who's a parent, a grandparent, or has got siblings? Now, there's someone in the audience that can't say no to that. They all say yes.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, so any of you teachers? Now, all I've done is I've just changed the title.
Yeah.
And the number of hands that go up are probably about 10%.
Right.
How many of you are coaches? And then the numbers go down even more.
Yeah.
How many of you are mentors?
Yeah.
And then they all go, well, what's a mentor?
Yeah.
But the thing is, and then I turn around and say, very simply, you either said you were a parent, a grandparent, or you got siblings. So you're all of the rest as well. It's just that I've just changed the title and you've shut your thinking brain down because you don't recognize yourself in those terms.
Yeah.
But if you look at what parents do, they do all of the above. They teach, they mentor, they coach, they show, you know. And so mentoring, to me, started at a very early age. By the way, I couldn't spell mentoring when I was one or two. So, you know,
along with everybody. You just call it mum.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so we've all been mentored. And I noticed it probably more when I joined the Scouts, Cub Scouts.
Well, okay.
I couldn't wait to get into the Cub Scouts. And everything that was done in there was great leadership.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, good mentoring.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, the only way to tie a knot is to do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
People can tell you, they can say, read the book.
Yeah.
They can show you how to do it, but fundamentally, ultimately, it's down to you.
Yeah. It's interesting that you just said that. I used to have a statistic years ago, and I don't know if it's still valid because people don't do these things as often as they used to. But there was a massive correlation between senior leadership positions in business and people that have been in the Cubs, Scouts, Girl Guides, Brownies, Boys Brigade, and those other types of organisations where they learnt leadership at a very young age. And that correlation was incredibly high. And I used to go around asking people that were like CEOs and senior managers, were you in the Scouts? Oh, no, I was in the Boys Brigade or whatever, yeah? Or were you a Girl Guide? Yeah, I was a Girl Guide. And there was a high correlation of that. It's just an interesting side topic, I guess.
No, but it's important because these people now are opening up. You know, we know the power of storytelling, but these people are opening up through the right questions. You know, you asked a very simple but poignant question, you know, were you in the Scouts? No, I was in the Boys Brigade.
Right.
And immediately you've got a rapport.
Yeah.
Now, these people have got that rapport because he was in the Boys Brigade.
Yeah.
You know, and they've learned their skills at a very early age. And going back to what you said, what does MindFit do?
Yeah.
He's learned some really good habits.
Right.
So he doesn't need to be told they're good habits because he knows they're good habits.
Right.
And that goes for, you know, anyone, you know, any walk of life. It doesn't matter race, colour, creed, you know, social perception or anything.
Yeah.
It's about doing all this practice in a very, let's say, closeted way.
Yeah.
In other words, it's within a comfort way. You can't, you don't practice and then someone chops your head off for getting it wrong.
Yeah.
You're with the right teacher, perhaps, or mentor, I'll use the word again, that person will say, well, that was really good, but do you think you could do better?
Mm.
You know, this person over here said the same thing. Go and have a look over there.
Mm.
So they're telling you what to go and look at, but they're not telling you what to see.
Yeah.
And that's the art of a great mentor.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I think mentoring breaks down into three kind of skill sets. At its basic level, where you were talking about parenting and things like that, it's basically passing on your experience, your life experience, to somebody else. So you've done something that they maybe have not done yet, and you're passing on your experience. Also, there's a chunk of mentoring which is just being a sounding board.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? A big chunk.
Yeah. So people go, well, what do you think of this? Okay. You know, so you're getting someone outside of your normal sphere to hear what you're thinking and to critique it from an independent point of view. Yeah. So I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not trying to tell you you're silly. I'm just listening to what you're saying and giving you my views on it. And then, of course, there's a big chunk of mentoring, which is something that I personally use a lot in my business, which is expertise mentoring.
Yeah.
So I will listen to an accountant or a lawyer or an insurance broker or an architect, depending on what I'm doing, and I will ask them to help me formulate my ideas and plans because they have expertise in that marketplace.
Yeah.
And for me, I think they're the three things.
Now, it's good to break it down that way because if you think of the second one, the sounding board, entrepreneurs do a lot of, you know, local marketing.
Yeah.
If that second part of mentoring, what you said, is nothing more than the sounding board, it's actually, it's test marketing.
Yeah.
What do you think? How would you do that? Yeah. What advice can you give me? You know, you've been here before, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
And immediately, it's just a chat. it's mentoring.
It's interesting. I mean, this wasn't a formal thing I did. Just somebody asked me a question a couple of weeks ago about a new idea they had. And I said, yeah, it sounds interesting. How are you going to monetize it? And they came up with a plan, and I went, you haven't thought that through, really, have you? and I went, yeah, no, it's going to really work. I went, you do realize the numbers you just told me means that you're going to get someone to use some space for a whole day for £2.50. And I went, really? I went, well, sorry, that was the numbers you gave me.
Feeding back what you told me.
And they said, yeah, do you think that might not work? Yeah, probably. But you know, I'm not being rude to them because when you've got an idea, when you're excited about something, you can't cover all the bases.
No, you're right.
Yeah, you know, right. So you put it all together, and that's where you need someone that goes, well, hold on a minute. I'm not saying no, but we need to rethink that bit. We need to think about how we're going to do that. Now,
and that nice bit, before you move on, that nice bit falls into your third reason, expert.
Yeah.
You know, you're now not just giving an opinion, but you're giving an expert opinion. It's probably why that person came to you in the first place.
Yeah.
And we all do, my point about this is, if you're good at what you're doing, you will do this automatically.
Yeah.
You may not call it mentoring.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, that's what you're doing.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of smaller businesses, and probably some larger ones as well, shy away from coaching and mentoring. And they go, well, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I don't need that or whatever. But then when you look at the world's elite sports people and the elite performers, every single one of them has a coach.
At least one coach.
At least one coach, yeah. Sometimes they go through them quite a lot. But
they do go through them a lot, yeah. But they've got a physical coach, a mental coach, a psychological coach.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
The good ones have.
Yeah, and nowadays in sport, you know, in team sports like football and stuff like that, that they have data analysts that analyse their performance based on data and give them feedback on all kinds of things, you know, nutrition, body preservation. But these people are the pinnacle of athletes. They're world champions and world winners. And they don't sit there going, nah, I've done it all, mate. Well, unless you're Cristiano Ronaldo, I suppose.
Yeah, that's another story. But
yeah. I've done it all. I don't need any help anymore. And it's just not true, is it? I mean, the more that they succeed, the more they go out and look for that edge by getting someone to mentor them, coach them, help them, support them.
You're absolutely right. And you know, we do a lot in golf, and we've just kicked off another series of It's Tea Time with Tony Westwood and myself. And we're keeping bite-sized chunks now. So 3 to 4 minutes, just a little intro and some work for you to do. And recently, any golfer out there knows that Rory McIlroy is yet again number one in Europe.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, golfers talk a lot about their swing.
Yeah.
You know, because actually, if you swing and miss the ball, guess what? You're not going to be a very good golfer. But the whole point is to have a good swing, hit the ball where you want it to go.
Yeah.
And if you look at Rory McIlroy's swing between last season and this season, even the most seasoned coach, pro coach, won't be able to say there's actually any difference.
Right.
But he's now top of Europe. And he was interviewed, and he said, and he just said, "So, Rory, what's the difference between last season and this season?" He said, "Mindset." That's all he said. One word. And the journalist was a bit lost for words, because normally Rory blabs out loads of stuff. But what we think he's found out is you don't need to convince yourself if you know what the answer is.
Yeah, yeah.
So for him just saying mindset, and then the interviewer went on and said, "Well, what, you know, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, my attitude to the game has changed."
Yeah.
And then he said, "Well, you were smiling and laughing last year." He said, "Yeah, but a bit like a swan. You can see what's going on above the water, but you didn't know what was going on below the water." Yeah, and I was having real problems.
Right, okay.
And I just put those problems behind me.
Right.
And again, he needed a coach to help him do that.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? This conversation came about because we were discussing a survey, a UK-based survey as well, which said that a huge number, I think it was something like 69-70%, small to medium-sized business owners and senior managers were interested in mentoring, in being mentored. And that surprised me, not because they needed mentoring, because it should be 100%, but that they recognised they needed it.
They were open to it, yeah.
Yeah, and they were open to it, absolutely. And I guess it also, thinking about it, if you look at some larger organisations and charities, all of them have mentoring boards. So, for instance, you have a board of trustees. They play no active part in the management of a business, but they're there to advise. And so, you know, they are basically a board of mentors, really. And a lot of charities and for-profit organisations bring in non-executive directors that have experience or expertise as sounding boards. So it's not surprising that that should happen, but it's surprising that they've recognised it this way, this far down the line.
It's not surprising it should happen, but you're absolutely right. The interesting thing is they've got lots of experience where there are sounding boards in governance.
Yeah.
School governors, for instance, they're there to be the sounding board.
Yeah.
They're there to steer the school in the right direction, you know,
absolutely,
to follow the HSE requirements, to make sure every child matters, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And even Chambers of Commerce have got their own board. They may not call it a mentoring board,
yeah,
but indeed, it is a mentoring board because people are on there because of their expertise.
Yeah.
So that if we get to the purpose of what's the purpose of mentoring, it's really, for me, to help you fast track where you are.
Yeah.
But that means the mentee must listen.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier on, you know, you can't know everything.
Yeah.
You know, you may be a great crackpot inventor, but trying to monetize your invention, you need help.
Yeah.
Now, whether you call that a teacher, coach, a non-exec, you know, a partner or what have you, fundamentally, you're really going after a mentor.
Yeah.
And I think this is where I was, in some respects, I'll use the word shocked, because the government do some things sometimes, and it shocks me in a positive way.
Yeah.
And the whole part of this mentoring came up is that I've just literally been approved as a government-approved mentor.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Small businesses.
Yeah.
Now, when I asked this is run by I think it's called the Association of Business Management. I could have that wrong. I know there's a coaching group in it somewhere.
Yeah.
But they've been down this route many times. You know, you and I can remember Train to Gain, Business Link, et cetera, et cetera. Then they came out with Mentors Me. Do you remember that one? They paid mentors literally to go out and mentor organisations.
Yeah.
Now I think they've got it right. They're actually doing quite a bit of due diligence around people that are offering themselves as mentors.
Yeah.
You get no payment as one of these mentors. They give you payment in kind. So if you want to get an ILM accreditation as a mentor,
right,
there's a level 3, level 5, and level 7
that
they will give you for free.
Right.
And for some people, you know, if you go on level 7, that would cost you about $2,500. Right. So that's not a bad payment.
Yeah.
Interesting thing is, they're giving you this option to get an accreditation on the basis of you being a mentor and doing a good job.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So what they're also doing, and anyone that wants to link, find out about this, because it is a free program for any SME, you get your choice of mentors.
Right, okay.
Which is even better. I mean, yeah. Some people have come to me and they've said, I want you as a mentor. And I said, why? And of course, they turn around, well, you're mentoring people. And I said, well, that's not a very good reason. Why is it? You know, what's your problem? So there are people with, there's quite a few people I've met on there that have got some really good experience in finance, in marketing, in content management, in being able to say no, in communications, and all of the things that, as an SME owner, you're expected to know, but very few know it. I mean, it's simple as that. So this is a great program, you know. And I can't stipulate what is free.
If I
were to go out there and mentor people as I do, you know, they'd be shocked at how much I get paid by big corporates to mentor them, and you're getting it for nothing.
Right. That's fantastic. We're going to have to wrap up shortly. I just wanted to kind of do a plug for me, and it is kind of relevant to what we're talking about as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm telling you, because you were involved in the very first one I did, which was my 30-30 school program.
Yeah, brilliant program. Brilliant. Yeah.
Well, obviously, during the pandemic and lockdown, it all came to a screaming halt.
Yeah.
Well, we're back doing it next year, and we got our first one in a school in Tunbridge. In mid-January. Neville did the very first one we did back in 2015, I think. We've had 2,000 pupils through there. And basically, the reason I'm bringing it up in a mentoring thing is because we're looking for business mentors to come and mentor on a very brief basis in a two-hour slot, a free event we do in schools with A-level students to talk to them about the world of work. So we want business people that want to tell young people about how to get on in the world of work, what their industries are about, and what kind of skills they look for. So that's my advert for that.
Well, all I'll add to that, though, is that this isn't something for nothing, because even I, a sort of a seasoned coach, on that very first session, there was a great network, there was a great discussion going on. Yeah. I learned a lot from other people because they've got their ears to the ground in their world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a great networking opportunity, and you never know who you're going to meet there.
Yeah.
And they may just help you along as well. So don't think that this is just giving back for nothing.
Absolutely.
It's like school governorship. To me, it's the best leadership course you could ever go on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, all you've got to do is turn up once a month.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's an absolute pleasure, as always, talking to you on the Business Monkey Show. I want to do a couple of things. I want you to give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out about the work you do.
Well, that's simple. That's mindfitltd.com or yp2grow.com, where two is a number.
Right. And I just want you to do a quick plug for your book.
Oh, the book. Yeah, well, actually, the book's all about mentoring. So there you go. There's a plug.
Yeah.
This is the first volume was about attitude and soft skills, which everybody needs.
Yeah.
But we don't get it in school. So hence the book is called Everything You Should Have Learned in School But Didn't.
Yeah.
It's 27 chapters and quite a big appendix of how to get a job. And each of the chapters is written by someone else.
Yes,
their experiences, their mentoring to you across the world. The second volume I'm putting together currently, and it's all about money and finance, which is another one of those three keys you've heard me talk about. Mindset, money and marketing. The marketing one's going to be further down the line, but money and finance is coming soon. It should be out on the 1st of January. And by the way, these books are free. We don't charge for them.
Fantastic. Neville, that's brilliant, mate. Thank you so much. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on keeping on. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you again soon, huh?
Thanks, Paul, and you too.
So that was Mr. Neville Gaunt of MyFit Limited and Y2PG.
Sounding very perky and young.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, mentoring has, as I read earlier about the report about the desire for mentoring, at last, people are starting to see the benefit of gaining experience from other people.
Exactly. And he's doing some great work. We've had quite a lot of tweets. We've had the lovely Paragon Drones, who are probably droning somewhere over the UK. And they say, looking forward to the cheesy tunes, and that you'll find them on paragondrones.co.uk. And they are a propelling drone service to higher levels through excellence, harmonizing drones and business by creating value and exceeding expectation. Then also the lovely Sarah Marsh Collins, we always have little dog tweets to each other. She says, we'll all be tuning in, me, Babel Monkey ME, that's on the Twitter, and Intune PR, the lovely Darren, who often brings in goodies when he's in.
Yeah, they're all hanging out together today, aren't
Chummy,
they?
Chummy, aren't they?
I don't know what they're up to. They're all down in
Chummy.
Devon.
And window cleaning, that's
Jade Window Cleaning. So that's five go to Devon then, is it?
Yeah. But what's old Darren PR doing down in Devon?
He's chatting with Jade Window Cleaning and Sarah Marsh Collins, I guess.
Jam First.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yes, Intune PR, we've mentioned them. Hello. And also, scrolling up, my timeline is very full. Maggie Morrissey, she says, I know Devil well, and you can find Maggie on Technology2TEA. She's a teacher, a CPD provider, a researcher, tech in education, especially science. She's based in London, Moscow and Kent.
Moscow?
Yeah, I say it.
Moscow.
I say it the American way. Yeah, I'm so New York. Actually, I'll tell you something awful. I was reading my mother's Daily Mail because I'd never buy it, but I was reading it. Can't resist. And they had a lawyer that was, prosecuting, and he said, gotten. And I said to my new husband, that's awful, you know, an English lawyer saying the word gotten.
Yeah.
I was shocked. What do you think, Lisa? Maria. Who is Lisa?
You might get the word right.
Yes. But gotten, it's American, isn't it? And it got my goat a bit, I think. It gotten my goat.
That would just drive me mad.
And he was a lawyer. Mm. You know. So Maggie Morrissey, getting back to her, technologytoteach.co.uk is where you'll find her. And then we've also got Richard Barker, the Penfold Holes, on the Twitter. He's also a fellow dog. We send pictures of our dogs. He's got a lovely fern who's probably curled up doing a little roach, as they do, these greyhounds and whippets and others. And he says, help. So he's chosen the cheesy tunage. And the lovely Tracy Ferguson is on her way to have a little meet-up with Pip Drums. Mm. And he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. And you can find him on Junk Jam 1 or Pip Drums. And he says she'll be listening to the replay. And she says she's been without heating for 6 weeks.
Wow.
While having plastering work done in my house. So being warm and cosy is so appreciated. So I guess she's going somewhere warm and cosy. Listen, Tracy, I've been without heating because I can't afford to turn it on.
Mm.
Huddled around. I had this morning, her little blanket around me when I had my green smoothie in my rocking chair. The north wind was coming through the old windows.
You want to put a balcony out there?
And I tell you, the condensation in old windows.
Yeah.
I literally, every morning in our bedroom, we sleep with the window open a bit, but if it's howling north wind, you can't. So in the morning, I have to get one of those squeegee things, and it's like a river.
Yeah, eventually you'll have mould then.
I know, well, we already have in the corner, and I've had to take my curtains down and scrub them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chips and Dinks have tweeted, looking forward to catching up with the Business Bunker Show and hearing the dulcet tones of Neville Gaunt and the helpful tips from today's guest, Maria. And they go, hashtag small business owners, mindfulness, HR, support business, and lots of other hashtags. So thank you. That's Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks.
Fabulous. And did you know the, this is a very long one, I'll wait for that for after the news. Did you know that there's a tented and garden centre you can visit FC, do you know who FC is? In his elf built grotto every weekend, Father Christmas. So if you'd like to go, it's in the Tenterton Garden Centre, and it's from the 19th of November, so it's already up and running until Christmas Eve. The entry fee is £12 a child, which includes a magical Christmas tree experience, age-appropriate gift, and activity trail. So that sounds lovely.
I don't know if I'm going to get away with this. I might get a kick in over this.
You don't look 12.
But I saw a joke that made me laugh on Twitter last night.
What was it?
There's a Twitter. There's a Twitter. There's a Twitter handle called Satan. Yeah.
Oh.
And he just posted, really sick of dyslexic kids posting their Christmas list to me.
Oh.
You have to think about that, Satan.
I can't work it out.
It's an anagram of Santa, isn't it?
Oh, of course. Oh, that's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you follow that, do you?
No, I don't. Somebody tweeted it into my timeline. I'd never heard of it before, and it just made me kind of snigger because it was.
Did you like my joke I sent you? So it's a visual, so it's a bit hard to describe. But it's these two guys go into a reception and say, "I'd like a room for two nights, please."
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And you'd have to. I'll try and put it on, but it's a video, and of course it's two guys dressed in knight in shining armor, which was quite funny and innocent. I thought the 7/8 chamber. Have they say join us on December the 7th at Rockdale Senior Living at the heart of Sevenoaks for the last First Wednesday networking meeting of 2022. And their sponsors of the meeting are Thackeray Williams Solicitors. And then join us for a meeting at Knowle Park Golf Club for the Chamber Christmas celebrations. And also, they have a second session in the Business Booster, which is a seminar series. It will be held on December the 8th at the Bat and Ball Station in Sevenoaks. That's at 10:30 a.m. Creating a sales process. They'll have Julian Weeks, and that'll be at 11:30 a.m. He'll be saying debunking the myths and misunderstandings of personal development coaching, and that's also with Paul Austin. You can find all details to this, as ever, on www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Put a little /for the calendar.
In preparation for the Christmas season and due to the high levels of stress we're currently operating under, I'm running two seminars in December which will be free of charge for everyone to attend. A 60-minute seminar on self-care on Saturday the 3rd of December at 12:30, and a 30-minute session entitled Embrace Your Uniqueness on Saturday the 10th of December. Both sessions will be held on Zoom. If you'd like to attend, please let me know and I'll put you on the list and send you a Zoom invite. That's from the lovely Gemma Harris, who was a guest on the show a few weeks ago. You can email Gemma at Gemma with a G at ghconsulting.info. Gemma with a G at ghconsulting.info. If you'd like to go to one or both of those Zoom seminars.
And volunteering and funding advice event. This is a community and social enterprise organisation. It's providing support or services in Maidstone, and they're being invited to a volunteering and funding advice centre, which is at Trinity House, and it's on the 30th of November, 9:30 a.m. to 3:30, and it's hosting this informative event, Maidstone Borough Council, and it's in partnership with Funding for All. It will be offering fundraising training, opportunities to meet local funders, one-to-one funding advice, opportunities to explore volunteer engagement, and the chance to meet with key Maidstone VCSEs. What is that? That's a volunteer, I guess.
Yep.
And social enterprise person. So it's a VCSE. People are encouraged to make use of the marketplace of organisations which will be available for advice, income generation for local causes, and information on volunteering opportunities. You can register for a free place, fundingforall.org.uk.
There's a Kent Women in Business Christmas celebration. Join us and the brilliant Kent Women in Business for our Christmas celebration with an inspiring keynote speaker, networking and festive afternoon tea. This is presented by the lovely Deborah Turner and Sue Hainsby. It's taking place on Thursday the 8th of December from 11:30 until 3. It's at the Bula Lounge, Christine House, London Road, Raynham. And you can find out all about it and book your tickets by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
And Sarah Marsh Collins is apparently tucking in. She says Cornish, so he says jam first. Although in Devon, we should say cream first. Cream first is totally wrong because you've got your butter on first, haven't you? And then to have butter and cream, I always think jam. But that just makes the jam slide off. However, Dazzle That's Darren, says scone like Sloan, so do I. But Jason and I say scone, very posh. I think we should have a Bee Bunker Devon event. Yes, I've got a little camper van, you see. We could mosey down with our recording equipment in a little camper van. You could drive, because I've never driven it. It's an old Hymer. 20 years old.
You know why I could drive, Maria. Let me tell you why I could drive.
Cider.
I could drive because I'm teetotal. Yeah.
Ah.
And she's a lush.
It's very useful. Very
That's
useful.
Really handy to
Exactly. Know. So he could drive. I could sit in the back of the Hymer.
All the way down to Devon.
Yeah. There's a nice little armchair and a table. I could have it all. But she's put on, Sarah Marsh Collins put on this lovely picture of us. I mean, who can resist a scone? Do you say scone or scone?
I say scone.
Yeah. Do you?
But and I put jam on.
But why? It's got an E at the end. You don't say hom.
You can't even pronounce the name of places like Westmorland.
Igtham.
Yeah, and Igtham and Rotham.
But scone is S-C-O-N-E.
And don't even get me started on Trottersliff.
If it was scone, it would be S-C-O-N without an E, surely.
Hey, anyway, I want to read this tweet before the news. Oh, yeah, it's from Athelbrae.
Go on, then.
Yeah. It says, hello, Business Bunker. We've been remiss in listening recently due to being very busy, and we shouldn't complain. Can you remind everyone our bite-sized management mentor program starts again in January at Demelza House Hospital, 9 modules, 3 hours each, every couple of weeks, brilliant grounding for new and aspiring managers. And if you want to find out about those management programs, give them a follow on Twitter. Athelbrae LTD is their Twitter handle, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E, LTD, Athelbrae Limited is their Twitter handle, and you can find out all about their management programs.
Oh, gosh, they've all started on the old scone. So Zeenat Noorani, who does a lovely show on Friday, Wellbeing
Mindset
Show.
Mindset Matters, yeah.
Thank you. Friday at 10 a.m., is it?
Yeah, 10:30.
10:30,
yeah.
Has a little lion then. So she says scones or scones with clotted cream only, which is put in a conundrum, because does that mean she doesn't have jam or butter?
It sounds like it, yeah.
That sounds a bit odd, yeah.
Well, it all depends if you don't like jam, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And
jam heart.
Of course, do you remember we had Haran on, who's got the beautiful Sri Lankan restaurant in the Copper Salon in Medway? He won a fabulous award, so congratulations. They won the Best Restaurant London Suburbs Award.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well done, well done.
You heard it on Business Bunker first.
Copper Salon.
Yeah, Haran and
restaurant.
Team.
Yeah, in Bromley. Well done, award winners. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Let's
when we come
out.
Back, we've got a fantastic guest to talk to.
What's happening?
Let's do it.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.